This is Ryan Reed, and you're listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. Power on!
This is the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, episode 50 for April 2010. Woo!
To find my place, I'm guarding 2814. I don't know why it's chosen me. From the corner of my eye, I catch a glimpse of evil light.
And now, the original host of the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, Ryan Reed.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. The Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast is sponsored by the Green Lantern Corps, where you can find all the latest Green Lantern news and talk about everything about Green Lantern on their forums. Check them out at the www.thegreenlanterncorps.com and tell them the Spotlight sent you. I'm your host, Ryan Reed, webmaster of the Green Lantern Spotlight and full-fledged... I'm just full-fledged these days. I don't know what I am anymore. I'm married, I'm loving, and I'm just kind of falling off the wayside now with Blackest Night over. But we'll get back to that news later. In the meantime, I've assembled the fantastic original core themselves. Let's start off with the great and the amazing Brandon West. How you doing, Brandon?
Doing great.
All right. He's doing great, but he's still upset about Butler versus Michigan State, folks. But we'll talk about that later. And, of course, the one, the only, he's always white, wishing he was gray, the great Muzard Colton Clayton. How you doing there, Mew?
Oh, fantastic, my dear good sir.
Ho, 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 fantastic. And then the guy doesn't know if he's coming or going, but we love him anyhow. Good old Eric. How you doing, Eric?
Hey, I'm pretty good. I'm coming right now. Wait, didn't say that.
Exactly.
Take that back.
See, we still got it, folks. And of course, the one, the only, the reason we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him, our sponsor, Andrew NDB. How you doing there, Andrew?
Hey, good, man. Good. Good to have you back.
Oh, thanks. How'd the move go, by the way?
It's ongoing. For the most part, it's done. Boxes are here. Comics are everywhere.
It's going to take 8 months to finish.
Well, that'll still be faster than Flash Rebirth took. Oh, Ethan, we love you. I swear.
Or Legion of Three Worlds.
It actually was like a year or two, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty much. Yeah, I don't know. Well, anybody, folks, here we're doing a kind of a little mini little talk here about Blackest Night here, mostly my thoughts and ideas, and of course my reactions to Blackest Night number 8, the conclusion, the fawn, the one that took us 9 months to get to, or 5 years, depending on what timeline you're going. Ethan, you got that down? Never mind. He knows I kid. We talk regularly. Ethan's a great guy. Well, Blackest Night. Well, let's face it. The Dead Rose, Necron showed up, showed that basically the white light, came and created the stars and the heavens and fought against the darkness, and the sentient space wanted peace, and everybody said screw you, became the White Lantern Corps, and took down Necron, and now it's the brightest day. So that's the summary right there. That's how good I am. Is my my old buddy here. never mind. I'm not going there tonight. He's going to be listening to this cast going, he's talking about me. We love you, Will. Anyhow. But basically was, I thought, first of all, the issue was 3 issues more than it could have been. I mean, there were some great moments, but honestly, we had this kind of whole thing with the Dead Rising. And a lot more of the Dead Rising took place more of in the separate DC comic books, on the pages of actual Green Lantern or Justice League or Justice Society Mini or This Mini or Wonder Woman Mini and blah, blah, blah. But, had some fantastic, great moments. I mean, the death of Hawkman and Hawkgirl in issue 1 was just, it was shocking, it was freaky, and just at the end it kind of gave you a kind of a taste of where this was going with storylines like, oh, forget the characters have been dead, the characters are alive or screwed. And that kind of really set the bar pretty high if you know what was really going to come out of all this storyline. Then it was pretty cool, we got everything, but then Necron got here, and then basically for 2 issues Necron didn't do anything but just stare empathy in space like he was a member of One Tree Hill, and basically just go die, and then he's like, I kill you, trespasser, and then finally they said screw you, here's the entity, and Sinestro's like, hey, I'm awesome, but not
Sinestro,
really.
don't touch the entity. Hal, don't touch the entity. Please,
leave
that
alone, Sinestro.
Superman, you are alive. You choose to be alive, just like you, Green Lantern. Yes, we chose to be alive, and we'll always be the White Lantern Corps. Black Hand, live! Yeah, I know. I like how the fact that Black Hand was this big key to everything. And yeah, he had his moments where he's strangling people and, you know, licking the Batman skull and puking blood and whatnot. But really, I wanted to know what really was he? You know, they said he had the entity in him. He was the host like everybody else, and until he shot himself through his head and Scar gave him his ring. I mean, it was just like, what's the black entity? We saw what the entity of light was. You know, what's the entity? Is it actually
Black Hand is the death entity.
Well, yeah, I know, but at the same time, no,
that's not confirmed. Can't be. I mean, how would that even be? I mean,
it can't be.
Just because he liked his steak too rare doesn't mean he was the entity since birth. I mean, he had two other brothers.
Scar said it herself. She is their parallax. She is their ion. Yeah.
When there was a picture of Sodom Yat, I mean, that implies the host as well. Not
it showed the entities without host as well.
No. In that page, you see Sodom Yat inside the sun. You don't see the actual ion entity.
No, you don't.
It says like ion, like parallax, like the predator.
Yeah, I think he's hosting it, yeah. So I guess we do get confirmation that, you know, Necron is not the death entity host, which we were all a little bit confused about last week. But I don't think that's our fault, really. I think that's the writer's fault, but yeah.
Oh, I know, and they kind of try to explain it back in, you know, issue 5, back when, Lori was taking, you know, Mara and that through the Black Greens with Deadman, finally saying, like, you know, hey, the universe finally got its own guardian. So I'm like, okay, so Necron's basically sentient space's guardian. Okay, then what is space? What is the sentience you're talking about? You know, I don't see somebody flying through space and it's going like, hey, get out of my space and knocks you apart, you know?
I'd say more sapience than sentience.
I guess this whole thing is like the fact
that there's life in the universe existence front to it.
Light bothers him or something? I don't know.
Yeah, but apparently light is too noisy and he's like banging his death up against the wall like, cut it down, you kid!
You know,
that's interesting, but he himself is an entity that's alive, so I don't know what he's complaining about.
Exactly, but yet he has no soul.
What, did you get there's an inference, I don't know if it's... I hope it's just an inference and not actually where Jeff is going, but it seems like he's alluding that Black Hand might be Necron, that like he might in the future become Necron and then go back in time to... he has the same chains that Necron has, the very same chains that he has.
I think it's just symbolic.
It could be either way. I know they do specifically say it in the story, though, that Necron Necron was one of the first things ever. But I mean, you could be right.
Yeah, I could see
that.
So
you think you'd be able to see this coming, his defeat, though?
Well, you know, it's like what they said in, you know, Flash Rebirth, you know, the whole thing with Professor Zoom, how he had his, you know, his resurrection, and then here in issue 8, we got that resurrection, and him disappearing was him traveling back in time to set up all the events from Rebirth.
I think Jeff saw the latest Star Trek movie and got really charged up about that kind of storytelling.
Too bad.
I know. That's actually a great reference. I think I have the best way to think to sum up basically Necron's little thing about how destroying life, yet he's a living being himself, even though he's not alive. I think of an old Josie and the Pussycats episode in season 2 back in 79, where they were on a planet where the beings wanted to extinguish the sun because it blinded them, but if they would extinguish the sun, they would kill everybody off on the light. And they're like, why are you still going to do it? Well, our eyes hurt. Well, why do you want to take away and get rid of your life? Don't question us. That's basically what I... That's what my...
Yeah, well, there's a Twilight Zone episode that's like that, where a guy gets immortality and becomes indestructible. And he like makes a deal with the devil, and the devil's like, well, give me your soul and I'll become you can become indestructible. And he's like, all right, sure. And then he gets put in jail for murder, so he's going to be in jail for life. And since he's going to live forever, he's jail forever. I might as well die and go to hell. So he dies and goes to hell at the end.
Right.
That makes any sense to you? You'd rather go to hell than spend time in jail where you could potentially escape? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
I really just think it's symbolic. They're not going to actually try to say that he's them. I hope.
It might just be one of those things that, you know, Jeff plans for and then kind of loses interest in and kind of forgets about and whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I will say here, I mean, with issue 8, I mean, everything got brought together. I kind of like some of the endings, too, especially with Black Hand being basically this prisoner of the Indigo tribe and basically be like, you will learn to be compassionate. And he's, you know, out speaking the language. And then the final page where they translate what he says, you know, we find out that Nock means, you know, compassion be with you. But basically him saying, no, my name is William Hand, help me. It's kind of like, yeah, sorry, you're going to suffer.
I'd be interested to see if anyone actually bothers to try and decipher the Indigo language to try to decipher.
They are in the forum.
Really?
Yeah, they've already got...
Have they made any headway?
Someone actually took the language to their linguistics professor. Got him into comics, apparently. While he tried to figure it out.
There could be a certain amount of symbolic, like, I mean, syntax, I don't know, I just feel like they... Kryptonese has a, which I don't know why it's called Kryptonese, it should be called Kryptonian, has a, it, like, that makes sense, like, if you write it or speak it, it'll make sense.
Right.
Well, they started to pick together some of the words and then, like, put them back against past sentences to see what they can build.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Johns also said there's no way anybody can translate it, so it might just be completely, like, knock means compassion be with you. That's
gibberish.
Like,
yeah, because the rings can translate pretty much anything, like universal translators, but they can't translate that.
Yeah, so if actually we could, it seems like a pretty big hole. Though I'm not going to put that size hole past Jeff Johns.
Well, to be fair, we're getting some words. We can get some context. The rings don't get any of this advance warning. You don't see Indigo just go, hey, by the way, knock is an affirmation. Good luck translating.
Yeah, but I mean, in all fairness, though, if we can work backwards from hints that she gives us directly and create a language syntax out of it, I mean, the ring meets... you know, species that has never met before, and it just puts stuff together by the way they're saying
right.
stuff.
Alright.
It's pretty weird.
Well, then speaking of the Indigo tribe, I mean, their plan is apparently an opposite of where Odom is, kind of. You know, they're almost, it's almost the opposite of what Odom is.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Oh, yeah, on the North Star, they're on the South Star.
I mean, I always kind of figured the Compassion guys were all, the Indigo guys were sinister anyway, because don't they, like, just totally murder a couple of lanterns the first time they show up for, like, no reason whatsoever? And then they say it's because they were, like, killing them because of their injuries.
Oh, it's like mercy kills or something.
Yeah, mercy kills.
Kind of a weird way to bring them into the story, but...
Yeah, I guess because I think you wanted to throw you through the loop, like, oh, they're compassionate, but they're mercy kills and stuff, which I guess means they could be compassionate to who you're not really sure who they're compassionate towards. It might go towards your theory about traveling back in time. Make a difference.
Huh? Well, I mean, like they said, the true meaning of compassion is to walk in another man's shoes, which, you know, them channeling the different abilities, which, you know, happened during the Hawkman and Adam one-shot Blackest Night with, you know, him doing all that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, also hope has nothing to do with, I don't think hope has anything to do with faith or prayer. I think that's the opposite, too, but they keep connecting the Hope guys with religious figures and stuff. And I think that's
well,
kind of...
Well, yeah, because when I was reading, you know, Green Lantern 52, I was actually talking with a friend of mine, too, because he was looking at it, and he's like, well, that's interesting. When did Green Lantern become the Book of Genesis?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, yeah, and Cain killed, you know, Cain killed Abel. Here's the red entity that's a bull. You know, and then, hey, you know...
It's a red bull.
I know there was. I was online and somebody had taken a picture of like Red Bull and had a picture of the entity with a Red Bull next to it, saying it'll charge you. I was like, "Yow!" Already, it's out there. But you know, the compassion being basically a cuttlefish. Wow, that was interesting.
Well, that the Bible is now canon, which sucks because if you want to read about DC history, you now have to read the entire Bible. But yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Well, the Bible has kind of been canon, hasn't it? I mean,
more or less. No, you're right. But, more or less. But specifically to connect the Green Lantern mythos to specific events in the Bible is a bit more on the nose.
Yeah.
To be fair, a lot of books throughout time have cited or used religious symbolry all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's fine. I don't mind that to an extent. I just don't. I don't like the. And also, I feel like this is a bit juvenile and simplistic. I think we've seen these kind of things connected. It's like Jeff Johns only ever heard a couple of stories, never read anything, you know? So he's talking about
the
Bible story.
You got the cliff notes. And
exactly. And everybody knows about Noah's Ark. Everyone knows about Cain and Abel. Everyone knows about the serpent. But obviously Jeff Johns doesn't quite understand the serpent. So, I mean, I don't know. I think
I mean, if you want to go back, say, you know, 12 years ago to the first season of Stargate SG-1, where, you know, they made a reference between Legend and the Bible, and then
marathon run of that myself.
Yeah, and he actually said himself, he's like, Teal, I don't want to go too heavily into this. And that was basically the writer saying, like, yeah, we might have some basis in our story, but we're not going there.
Yeah,
Stargate's big about deconstructing all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah, half the aliens are all, like, ancient gods or whatever, right?
Yeah, or some text or anything.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, well, but anyhow, speaking of that, but, you know, I mean, when I was done reading the book, I kind of smiled, and I thought it was a great way for me to finish up reading Green Lantern for the time being after 16 years. So, I mean, if I was going to give the story a full range, I'd give it a solid B, not a B+ or B-. I mean, I felt it went on too long. Some things were, like, as we just discussed with the religious aspects, kind of made me go, really? Come on, you know. I mean, I go to church regularly. I mean, I do Radio Hour and everything else, but that was kind of a little, I think that's a little heavy-handed and everything else. And, you know, and Sinestro's the greatest Green Lantern, lantern of all, but then at the same time, he can't hold the entity. And then Hal Jordan's
like,
no.
Then he did nothing.
Yeah, and this is like, Hal's like, no, this is how you do it. I was actually waiting for, you know, Sinestro to start losing control and then him reaching his hand out to Hal saying, I can't do it with you without you. Then if we would have had the White Lantern Corps, that would have went perfectly.
Yeah, just, Sinestro kind of vanished at the end of that issue, didn't he?
He did. He just vanished. Nobody in that whole fucking story had even a single character arc. There was no character arc for anybody.
No conclusion. There was nothing conclusive. I don't think I. No. My problem with that Black Knight in general is nothing conclusive about the entire story.
No.
Mira.
We don't even know what the story. We still don't even know who Black Canary was or what it's involved.
From Mira, Aquaman's wife, went from mad, angry woman. Well, bitter, angry woman.
Secured by her.
Rejoiceful woman.
She seemed okay also that her son is dead and gone forever as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, I never wanted a kid, so I'm okay.
I never wanted a kid, so I'm glad the Tempest is dead.
Yeah, exactly. screw you, Teen Titans.
Well, he was never
fans.
Their son.
Well, he is their kid. He's not their biological kid, but he is their kid.
Yeah, he raised him like that. I mean, I think really the only real character that really got it was kind of, you know, was Ray, because Ray finally is like, okay, I'm pushing back, you know, Brad Meltzer's days, and you know, my wife's dead. Here, die, bitch. I'm done. It's like, moving on.
Finally.
Yeah, that's really what I mean, that's what I said, too. I was like, finally, and they did it right.
Even that was a tie-in off the side. My problem with it, too, is that even Barry, most of the event for issues like 2 through like 5 or 6 became about Barry all of a sudden. And then what did he do the last issue? Kind of stood around and watched everybody do stuff.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my God.
He's like, that looks exciting.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, I look like back from my old mini series from back in the day. Hey, I'm cool. I got the Indigo staff. So that's about me. I mean, you know, I'll go around here. You guys disagree, agree with me. We've been saying. I'll start you with you, Andrew. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think you're too kind, but very diplomatic, sir. Very diplomatic about things. But I think we pretty much touched on all the bases. I mean. It was certainly bloated, overly bloated. I mean, not even taking the tie-ins and stuff into consideration. It's bloated, and it's just essentially a story about nothing. I mean, even in the end, we don't even know exactly what it was about. I mean, Black Hand is the key. The key to what? I mean, what do we know? We don't even know what he is. I mean, he's the entity, or is he? Is he Necron? We don't know. We still don't know it at this point right now. Just a story about nothing, essentially, that dragged on for damn near a year, and that's just insane. That said, I didn't hate the conclusion as much as I was expecting to. It actually, like I was expecting mostly things to end on like a great big to be continued, which it kind of was in some ways, but not quite as bad as the Sinestro Corps War did, where it's like, you know, they take 15 pages out to kind of make sure we know that all the bad guys are still alive and such like that. He kind of reined it in a bit at the end here to give kind of a fairly satisfying ending to what, in the end, however, was kind of an unsatisfying story. So it's kind of like, it's a good ending, but the story wasn't that good, so I don't know what that means in the end, I guess.
Apparently John can only write a good beginning, a good middle, or a good end.
Well, see, he never writes good ends. And this is the first time he's actually written an ending that's actually somewhat of an ending. It's just unfortunate the rest of the story makes it not matter so much, I guess is how I would put it. Eh.
That's a good point. What about you there, Brandon?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that you're too nice about your opinion, but I'd probably disagree generally with your point of view on the series itself. But like Andrew said, it was a generally good ending. It was a lot of to be continued with issue 8, but I'm looking forward to a lot of that stuff, so that's a good thing for me. It is what it is. They can go back and listen to our thoughts throughout these weekly shows to see how much I hated and hated and hated even further this series. But it's not as bad as my initial opinion of it was. It's just not very good.
Remember, folks, Brandon has not only earned his red ring, it's become a scarlet ring from his massive amounts of hate on a weekly basis. Eric, what about you?
Yeah, I guess I'll continue the downward spiral. I think all y'all are being too kind. I think if you had every bad thought you ever said times two, it would probably be too kind. I think the whole series was terrible, I think. I really didn't like it. I think the best thing about the series is the first two pages are the best pages I've ever seen Ivan Reyes do, and he should get away from a Geoff Johns book because that's not his strength. But
the first two pages of eight?
Panels. Just the four big panels and then the big splash page. That's the kind of stuff he should be drawing. But anyway, but I think that it was kind of the most disappointing thing about the series is obviously it's all crash commercialism when you're reading an event, but this is even worse than anything. I mean, the storyline stopped halfway through it around issue four. Nothing was happening for four issues, and then the actual story stopped itself after issue four, and we got a bunch of twists with no plot to back them up and a bunch of status quo changes, quote unquote, that'll be gone by the next event, which apparently, according to Geoff Johns, will be in 6 months, so it doesn't really matter to me. I think I also saw a decimation of DC as a legacy company in general altogether. We saw the end of Tempest and the original the second Captain Boomerang. We saw Kendra was literally written out of history. Wally was written over, and too many characters kind of just vanishing just for the sake of the Silver Age. And I don't know what the argument was and why there aren't people in the room telling the editorial that this is a bad idea, because the Silver Age is too bloated with like ridiculously terrible continuity, where if you do try to say like this is how things were when everything was cleaner and more classic, you're gonna end up you know, eating from the toilet or something, you know, because it's not gonna be able to justify itself. It's gonna collapse under its own weight of how many stories you just had to ignore. I mean, even Flash history, Barry Allen didn't even have the same face that he had when he was born with, so how can anybody recognize him by his last story? But even getting out of that. Plus, I mean, all the people they brought back, it undid, like, the last 10 events that DC did. I mean, characters have come back from Captain Boomerang and Martian Manhunter, and all these big deaths in every event are completely just moot now. Plus, I mean, the Hawks were already dead in Final Crisis. I don't know how they were brought back and then killed again at Blackest Night, just to be brought back again at the end of Blackest Night. Could have just left them dead. But.
Kendra wouldn't have been written out.
Oh, right, sorry. You could have still written her out. You could have just left her dead in her heroic death as opposed to her pathetic, bubbling, bloody, I love my boyfriend death. Also, this is the return of Gail Simone's Women in Refrigerators. Too many female characters getting horribly murdered, called bitch as they were being murdered, or, you know, a lot of reminders of DC's history of killing its female characters, as well as erasing several other female characters. I mean, I think turning Firestorm's girlfriend to salt was unforgivable in terms of the history of DC. I mean, that character doesn't even have a title and his girlfriend still got killed, you know. Nobody even knew who his girlfriend was, and his girlfriend still got killed. So, I mean, I couldn't say enough bad things about this. And the ending, there was no ending. I mean, the last four issues, nothing happened. Hal saved the day by flying into the battery, which three or four other people had done at that point. So it ended up being, I mean, I can't even get into how bad it is. And it's not even its own story. Nothing ended. There was no conclusion in any way, shape, or form. So, no, F's all around.
Boy, we should call Joe Quesada and see what he thinks about all this.
Yeah, well, he's probably shaking their hands because Siege is getting reviews. Siege is 100% getting good reviews, and Blackest Night is getting good reviews, but there's definitely an undercurrent of fandom that's like, this is what DC is going to be like next 5 years. Then
I feel like people are afraid to say it's shit, but...
If you look at what's going to happen, I mean, Geoff Johns is creatively running the company, and Dan DiDio creatively running the company, and Geoff Johns especially, and I think a lot of the creative decisions that he's made in terms of continuity have been interesting, but... Interesting, a few of them have actually been good, but most of them have been a really, really bad idea, especially now that he's got absolute power. And this is all what we saw in Black Knight, where we're going to see everything's going to be an event, and it's not going to have any conclusion whatsoever. So every comic is going to involve every single DC hero ever. You're not going to be able to get anything insular anymore. And, you know, I get a feeling that's why like guys like Greg Rucka aren't on the company anymore, you know, because they know better. But I think NC just getting a lot of, like, build for saying, everybody, you know, it's pretty good. We like it a lot. And I'm actually glad that it's not as promoted as Blackest Night, because this is going to backfire in DC pretty quick, I predict.
Right. And Mew, what do you wrap up on that?
Let's bring this up on a bit of a positive note.
We have to.
Because if this goes any deeper into the dark, we'll be getting teabagged by Satan if we go any deeper.
Yes. I was actually going to start killing myself over the podcast, so yeah.
The palate cleanser, Mew.
Oh, yes. Please do, because I have a great joke to put on that last comment, Eric. But first, Mew, let's go.
Going on the more happy note, I think there were a lot of good aspects, even if there were some bad aspects. I mean, my only real major fault, I have to say, with the series, have just been the horrible amount of just decompression. I think the event could have been done a little bit better, maybe like three, four issues. a little bit more tightly done, and a little bit of repetitiveness in the tie-ins. Specifically the, oh my god, you're someone I knew, I love you, wait, you're ripping out my heart, oh no, or I stopped you there, go on with our lives. Aside from things like that, I wasn't really bothered with a lot of the things. I mean, like the entities, I didn't mind their little origin story, minus some details of like thousands of years. It's billions of years at that point, you bastard, I'll kill you. But that's just my inner scientist talking. Forgive me.
Pretty fair, pretty fair.
We're not monkeys!
Of course we're not monkeys. We're Homo sapiens, damn it. Anyways.
It's racist.
Homos aside, we must move on to the big issue.
Yes.
The White Lantern, I wasn't so bothered by it. I know some people were, some people were like, oh my god, I can't believe we went there, but I was like, you know what, it could have been done worse.
It's inevitable.
It really could have.
Yeah, exactly. It was inevitable, I mean, there were a lot and it could have been worse.
The only thing I think was the problem was it could have been done better.
Yes.
I mean, Hal Jordan just completely destroyed Sinestro's whole life with that scene. Sinestro has it for this whole time. He's not doing anything. He's just dying to come back to life. Hal Jordan has it for 2 minutes. He creates this whole White Lantern army, destroys Necron, brings people back from the dead. He's like, yeah, I did that about 2 panels. And then we have Sinestro just stalking off, depressed. But other than those little slight faults here and there, which some are more questionable than others, but generally I liked it. I mean, you know, B-ish, B-plus area. It's got its faults, but I really like the art, especially at some points. And I did like a lot of the story, just some parts were kind of iffy, and it was way too drawn out for its own good.
Right. Well, no, I have to agree. And I mean, we didn't say it really much here a little bit, but, you know, Ivan Reiss, I thought he did a fantastic job throughout this entire book. I mean, his art style was great. His splash pages were fantastic. I actually do have the Liv as a desktop right now, because it was just beautiful art. I mean, it's fantastic. The detail's great. I mean, he really caught a lot of a little bit of George Perez right in there, and I think he, if anybody, should get a really thumbs up no matter what throughout this entire story, bloated, B, C, F, or whatever. I mean, Ivan, he's stuck out there.
He's the saving grace of things, but I don't think the colorist did him a lot of favors. I think someone more of Moose's caliber would have really made this pop.
Yeah, I think Moose would have made people just go, wow, I want to read the story, but I just want to look
Moose.
At the pictures. We all miss Moose.
It could have been worse. At least Hi-Fi didn't color it.
Anyhow, as we finish up there, there's actually a nice little joke here my friend did the other day, because he was reading my Green Lantern, he was watching a TV show. He's like, I came up, he goes, Ryan, I have the perfect thing we should do for Sinestro now, since he's all dark and depressed after what happened to him in Blackest Day. He should put in a wad ant that reads, violent, elderly, accent-prone Jehovah Witness likes Togan cuisine and harpsichord music, is seeking a muscular, wealthy blind woman in her mid-20s and must be albino into cutting. I was just like, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of went, well, yeah, Sinestro does kind of like harpsichord music. So, you know, it works. But, you know, that's the bright part. So, you know.
On a harp. Oh.
You know who Sinestro should have fought during this whole thing? He should have fought Black Lantern and Gay Sinestro with the earring and the, ooh, fabulous, back from, like, the 90s.
Let's, yeah.
Shouldn't Sinestro become a Black Lantern like Superman and Green Arrow and everybody?
Yeah, I mean, well, no, because he wasn't really dead. He was some kind of construct or
by
something. Yeah, I never.
Yeah, anyhow.
Yeah, that's never really suitably explained.
Yeah, so
and
anyhow.
They can't even use the New Earth explanation because that was before New Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, well, let's just leave it.
He was still punching.
New Earth happened throughout whole of history, so.
Yeah,
so. Really
yeah he was still punching the walls.
So, my final thought for Blackest Night, nice try, beautiful art, okay story that really didn't go anywhere. Let's move on and be done with it, and I'm done reading comics. All right.
Any predictions for Brightest Day?
My predictions for Brightest Day is Jason and Ronnie are going to have a problem with as Firestorm, because they need to be together to re-merge and all that. That's why we saw the Black Lantern Firestorm on the one cover for issue 3. So basically I see the Black Lantern Firestorm trying to coast in Ronnie, and Ronnie and Jason's going to have no choice but to forgive Ronnie, and they'll become the new Firestorm. Osiris, he's going to basically be the reason why Black Adam and Isis are going to come back. Maxwell Lord, he's just due there to get the cool Justice League, since Justice League is just going nowhere.
And the JLIs, he's going to be involved in that.
Yeah, the Justice League International return.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting to see.
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
it's interesting to see Monarch slash Extant come back and already start talking shit, and no one seems to be bothered that, you know, he murdered like a bunch of JSA members and even Dove at one point.
And I think Captain Boomerang is going to be the new biggest loser for the Rogue, saying, "See, I lost 400 pounds and grew back my hair, and now in great shape thanks to the brightest day. Thank you."
Yeah, and I found this cool beanie that I'm wearing instead of my ridiculous hat that I used to wear.
And so, how about White Lantern Alive Man?
It seems like there's going to be a new White Lantern. Like, there's ads that are like, "Who will wield the white light?" There's going to be like one more.
Oh,
White Lantern.
In a very recent, thing from the WonderCon, not only did they mention that confirmed that a dead man, they jokingly call a live man, is now White Lantern, but also there might be one other showing up in the series.
Yeah,
I just said that.
No, they definitely will be.
As for the Hawks, I hope they're just going to move on now past, Hawkman angry, smash people faces, and Kendra and Hawk Girl like, "I loved him in a past life." I'm like, yeah, now they're together again. Let's just move on and be the kick-ass warrior duo that used to be.
They've managed to make them. They managed to make Hawk Woman or Hawk Girl or whatever it is now. They managed to make her just as toxic as Hawk Man, continuity-wise and everything else.
Yeah, they didn't really need to do that. Now they did.
Yeah.
As for Jade, I would rather her stay dead.
Well, actually, no, because I think the death of Jade is totally, like, out of nowhere when it happened, so I don't mind that she's really.
It was the kind of thing where it's like, I was okay with her death as it was while Kyle was Ion, because then there was kind of a point to her death, but after Jeff pulled rank and retconned that out, kind of, then there was no point to her staying dead. It's like, you might as well resurrect her.
Well, and interesting, too, is she's in her old Infinity Incorporated outfit, too.
Yeah, well, that's probably the one they're going to use, I mean, for costume bonkers, we definitely have a... Marsh Manager's costume looks terrible. He looks like he's half-dressed for the gym, like not really looking very good.
Yeah, he's got like sweats on or
something. Yeah, what is up with that? That is just weird. It's like, I'm Martian Manhunter, how are we today? Forget my
And they don't give him the swashbuckler books, but they give him like, I don't know, like moccasins or something?
I don't know what that was. I don't know.
It doesn't look good.
My biggest thing is Aquaman's back. We have him and Mera and everybody kind of being front and center, and unfortunately we lost Tempest in the process. But, you know, me and my brother-in-law and my nephews are all happy, so we're like, hey, bring on Aquaman. With two hands.
Oh, poor Aquaman. He's going to have to deal with advances from Atrocitus on his wife.
She just made... You know, it's funny, because I think at Our Worlds at War they had a bit where Aquaman disappeared, and then I think...
Oh, yeah.
Dick Grayson looks over at Aquaman, at Tempest, and he says, "Hey, doesn't that make you Aquaman?" And then that was like an idea that DC never ran with, that Tempest should have been Aquaman. Tempest should have been Aquaman, because Tempest is had more of a like accessible personality. Could have been like Kyle Rayner all over again. He could have got some really strong stories.
What happened to that one teen Aquaman?
And if not then, they could have had Tempest become Aquaman during the Sea Dweller times, you know, when they had the other Aquaman.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
no, let's create a completely brand new Aquaman. It's like,
why?
Yeah. Why? You have to.
And they gave him the same name as the original Aquaman, just to make everything a bit more confusing,
So, those are my thoughts. We'll see how the next 52 weeks go on it and everything. So, you know, that's my thoughts on here. I'll be following as much as possible as I can and online and at my local bookstore, so I'll cross my fingers, but that's about it. In a way, I was a little sad, like, you know, I kind of want to see what's going to happen. So, in a way, you can say Geoff Johns and DC succeed in that, make me want to say, I'd like to know what comes next. So that's...
Well, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, they're going to be telling these stories. This is going to be a continuing story for the next 15 years, so you can probably just pop back in and start reading it anytime.
Yeah, I'll be like, I didn't miss much. I'm good. Now let Daddy show you how Green Lantern works, son.
Yeah, 15 years later, they show up, and Hal Jordan's like, well, it's been 2 weeks since Blackest Night. Things are finally starting to get back to normal.
I tell you guys, once I start writing for DC, I'm going to undo most of this stuff, so don't worry about it.
I like the Spectrum.
Well, hey, you know, if I ever one of these days write for any comic company, I'll actually make the Spectre do something. So,
if I ever write for Kyle Rayner, you're gonna see the Starheart energy he got returned. That's something I always wanted addressed.
As long as somebody really talks about Kyle Rayner,
it's like the Ion entity was in him, but there was also some connection to the Starheart. It's like, you know, we should have had a little bit of that. He should have been like whenever one day when he's in trouble, he's just like, well, what the hell? I have magic energy still. Damn.
Yes, and Fred Savage is also the voice for Hawk.
Yeah.
Anywho. That's really all I got. Now, for everybody else who's been wondering what's been going on in my life, because some people have been following the blog, been reading online and everything, it's just, last few months, I've just been trying to get a handle on things financially and everything, and it just got to the point where, comics were becoming too expensive, and I had to learn to make a draw on things, and that's exactly what I did. So I made the big decision, and, Green Lantern here ending, I'm done reading that, and I'm finishing up the last issue for my Marvel collections here in 2 weeks, and I'm selling everything else. I'm off, and I'm keeping the bigger collections. So that's really all I'm doing. I'm just paying debt. So if people want to go to my eBay store. I got tons of stuff that's going to be on there the next several months. So please buy. It's for a good cause.
Why don't you go ahead and plug your eBay name?
eBay name, you can find me as Herc3177 or Herc's Small Town Shop on eBay here. I have direct links on the GL Spotlight. I'll have them on my new blog, which is called My Life and Times as a Reed, which is its own little pun right there, and you can find that at thelifeandtimesofreed.blogspot.com, which will be plugged into my upcoming new website, which is called the Comic Fan Pulse, which actually deals with the current status of comic book universes, Marvel, DC, and Image, and my thoughts, books you should be reading, shouldn't be reading. We'll have nice connections to GreenLanternCorps.com, the podcast, as well as some other stuff, and I'll be moderating around my Spider-Girl's world with my three new moderators as we keep that book going, because unfortunately, Spider-Girl was another book I had to drop, and everybody knows I love that book to death, but unfortunately, it's still, costing me $2.99 extra a month, so it's a little easier to do that. But you can find me over on eBay. You can find me on Blogspot. I'm on Twitter at Avenger Files. You also can find me over on Facebook at facebook.com there, as well as my own Spider-Girls page group and everything else. So I'll be around. I'll be plugging in. I'll pop in with these guys once in a while to give my thoughts on Green Lantern and the comic book universe in general. Come on, we got movies coming out. Come on, Ryan Reynolds. Blake Lively, yeah. Amanda Waller, Tim Robbins,
Mark Strong.
Exactly. 3D.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be around, but that's kind of it. I'm just kind of bowing out. It's after 16 long, wonderful years. I got back into comics as part of a therapy session back when I was in high school after going through depression, and I kind of never left after that. I got back in with Green Lantern and Spider-Man, and I didn't look back. I just kept going and going over the course of the several years, and sadly, this is just that spot that happened to me back when I was 12, where I just got out of comics for a while. But I'll be back. I will be back. I am
never the end.
Exactly, never the end. I'm just like Superboy Prime. I show up when you don't want me to.
Aw, we're just that's sad. Too easy to meet.
Oh, he'll be back to punch reality.
To live.
We could do like a Blackest, Black Lantern, Brian thing, where he comes on and just says a bunch of mean stuff and stuff that he like really didn't think.
So, that's all I have. Anybody have any final thoughts before you guys kick me out into the brightest day once more?
Yeah, keep stick around for the GL Spotlight blog. Good luck with Life and Times of Reed. And of course, you're always welcome back on your own Greenland Spotlight podcast. And
don't be a stranger.
Yeah,
I try not to be. Eric, what about you? Since you've been only new to the group last couple months.
Well, it's nice. Wish we could do more cast together. I appreciate the thing you built here, and I think we're gonna miss optimism in the next couple of years. So.
Yes, that's
sorry
right,
to see
right.
You go.
Mew, you gotta step it up, man.
Yeah. I know, I have to be
get happier, Mew.
Get happier.
Come on, Mew, yeah, don't let me smack you down there.
Yeah, we're gonna have to start doing all the casts ironically, like everyone just pretend that
they're green ring, red ring, yellow ring, orange ring. Where's all my positive rings, damn it?
Just think of the Hello Kitty ring.
Black? No, I don't want death. Let's see. Oh, here's Jesus. Love. Now where's Indigo? Oh, here it is. Okay, I got my rings.
Well, I just have to say, you know, when I started this all that, you know, back in 2009, I mean, I never thought it would grow and become what it has, and all these, you know, wonderful people that came and joined us here, from Brandon to Andrew and all everybody else, Will and Sanchez and all that, and of course, you know, having incredible guests from, you know, Ron Mars to Alan Moore, whoever thought that would ever happen.
Yeah, who thought?
Exactly. So, you know, I'm proud of what I built, you know, and everything else and what it's come to. And I mean, like Brad Douglas over in the Spider-Man Crawl Space podcast, you know, I wish I could just stick out there, have life go good and even in general and so forth. But, you know, this is just me moving on, heading into, as I said, the brightest day for me and moving on to new beginnings and second chances, you know, and I wish everybody luck. And I know I'm leaving everything in fantastic hands here. So with that, back to you, Frankie.
Thank you, Ryan, for your positive review of Black is Night number 8. You rated it kindly, and I would say that is putting it mildly. I'm going to move it up to Kuhan.
Oh, what? Oh, I'm talking now? Okay. So, reading this issue, first I had to feel sorry, really sorry for Geoff Johns, mainly because there was a bunch of pages I could tell that he really wanted to be splash pages, but he just couldn't fit it in. I feel like he wanted it to be like a 4x sized issue. But he couldn't get that, so he had to cut a lot of those splash pages down to one panel, or like half a page. The art in this issue was definitely really good, possibly because Rice drew a lot of these as splash pages and then realized, oh, I can't do splash pages now, so I had to split them down. And then, of course, the 4-page pullout, which is made to be in people's signatures on online message boards, and is in like 4 of them on the Green Lantern Corps message board now. All in all, the writing was, well, I mean, I
give
guess
it your honesty. Give it as most honest as you can.
Give him your honesty. Just
I guess.
Give it
I guess for this for this event, I suppose it made sense, sort of. As much sense as could be made out of this event, I suppose. You know,
but for the issue itself, how was the writing?
For the issue itself, I mean, there was some pretty ridiculous stuff. Like, for example, the fact that everyone became a White Lantern for a page and then stopped being the White Lantern for the next page. Like, so ridiculous. It wasn't terrible, I suppose, the writing. But like, there were some really weird moments. I do think that the best thing that this issue could have done, it did, which was finally find a way to differentiate Carol Ferris and Wonder Woman by making Wonder Woman not a Star Sapphire anymore. But then I realized, oh wait, like at one point, I didn't realize that Wonder Woman wasn't Star Sapphire anymore. So when Carol Ferris was, bringing Mara back to life, I'm like, wait, is that Carol or Wonder Woman? And I'm like, oh, wait, it's Carol. Okay. I think that's it. There was some weird stuff, like, I can't remember. The end of the issue was really sort of cheesy and strange and like, oh, hey, look, Tim Drake is right. Bruce is alive. How do you know that? He's like, the Black Panther didn't recognize any of us. It wasn't Bruce. Well, he was there for about 2 seconds, spat out a bunch of rings. He didn't say anything. And then he left.
That's
hey,
clearly not Bruce Wayne at all.
Hey, what's
Bruce
up?
Bruce Wayne has never said, blah. That's not even his accent, okay?
And the fact that, like, I don't think Geoff Johns knows how people talk. Like, they talk to each other in the weirdest way, like, you know, her heart has stopped. Give me your hand, Aquaman. Your heart is beating again, and we'll help hers beat again, too. Like, who says that? Sure, she's a Star Sapphire, but she's still human. We chose to live again, now we choose it for you. Oh, here it is. We give life purpose. I may have some kind of morbid connection to Necron, but I still have a stronger connection to life. It's like, what?
Yeah.
That's like the strangest thing to say.
Yeah, dialogue's always been his weakest. I mean, of all his weaknesses, dialogue's always been his weakest.
I feel like he should maybe, like, write plots. Like, here. bounce out ideas and have other people write them for him.
Yeah, not plot, because I don't think he's written a plot.
Have you read what he said at the WonderCon? They asked him, like, hey, Jeff, you ever going to write, like, a novel? And he's like, oh, that's too many words.
Too many words.
It's like, too many words, bro.
You are a writer, Jeff Johns. What the fuck?
That's like going to an artist and be like, yeah, do you ever think about, you know, maybe doing some paintings? Oh, yeah, not enough words.
What's he going to do, though? What's he going to write? I mean, he doesn't invent his own characters. I mean, all the characters he invents are, like, just rip off of other characters. So what's he gonna write, a novel that's a rip off of The Great Gatsby or something? I mean,
that would be so hilarious. Except everybody has different colored rings.
Yeah, well, instead of The Great Gatsby, it's The Great Mark.
Okay. Yeah. Like maybe if he came up with ideas and then told them to Brian Michael Bendis, and then Bendis wrote the comics.
Yeah. that would be such a good.
And then Bendis says. What? And then Bendis says, that's fucking crazy. Why would we write that?
It's a really stupid idea you're writing.
Are you 3 years old? Fuck out of here with that.
Different colored ring, what the fuck are you doing?
This is for grown-ups here, Jeff. This is for grown-ups here.
He's like, don't talk down to the audience. It's really embarrassing. And then the audience, of course, buys 12 times as many issues as he said that, but yeah.
So, Kuhan, aside from all this adequate writing, what would you recommend this issue by itself?
By itself? By itself, if they've been reading the rest of the event, or what do you mean by that?
Meaning by itself, as a standalone issue, what'd you give it?
As a standalone issue, would I give it to somebody to read? No.
All right, then.
As a standalone issue, it doesn't feel like it's a good enough issue, straight up. But it does feel like it's a good wrap-up to this event, sort of. Although, I did notice that this issue didn't have a title. It just says Blackest Night, because we all know what the title is. It's Deus Ex Machina. That's... And also,
Money Cash Hose. I think it's actually called Money Cash Hose.
And also, David Finch can't draw. Stop.
What?
He commented that David Finch cannot draw.
No, you mean as in you don't like the Brightest Day Zero cover?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Well, sir, I do not care for your opinion.
Are you serious? You like this art? Are you serious?
A little Barry Kitson-esque. I like it. It's
I don't have a problem with it. Did you read Second Come? Let's not get into Marvel. All right, never mind.
This checklist that I see. Whatever this is, I don't like it. It looks like Michael Turner to me, and I don't like Michael Turner.
What's wrong with Captain Boomerang's right hand? Like, what's going on with that boomerang? What happened to Hawkman's leg?
Is that really a reflection on the issue?
No, it's not. I just want to mention it because I saw it at the end of the issue, and I'm like, well, this is terrible. I don't want to.
It is.
This is terrible. I don't want to read this crap.
This ad drags the issue down.
Considering the whole issue is an ad.
Whoever colored this obviously doesn't realize that Maxwell Lord isn't Aquaman. He's Maxwell Lord because Lord looks exactly like Aquaman. He has the exact same hair color. It's the exact same. He looks exactly like Aquaman.
I didn't catch that.
I thought that was Nemesis for a minute.
I'm glad they told me it was Max Lord.
At first I'm like, who the hell is this? And I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. Max Lord came back this year, right? Yeah, it must be Max Lord. But I would not have been able to tell that if I had just seen that picture.
Yeah, I also like how the fact that, you know, Firestorm is back to being white again. Oh, I really missed that.
Oh, he's only half white, to be fair.
yeah, sure.
And why did Booster Gold call him Maxwell Lord? Like, another kind of, like, nobody talks like that. He actually, it's like, you Maximilian
Maxwell Lord!
Oh, Max. Never called him Maxwell.
Maxwell James Russ Richard Lord the Third.
How dare you, Maxwell Lord.
I mean, they just thought it looked stupid because his name is Max Lord.
Didn't Ronnie, like, not recognize Jason when they separated from the...
Yeah, that's the one thing I wanted to make it clear when I was gonna get into my whole review of the issue.
They've merged before, haven't
they? Yeah, that's the thing. The way it looks... Yeah. Well, the way it looks now, the way these characters have been brought back, and I'll go into my review after this, it looks like they were all brought back at a point in time where they were like the best of times for them.
Well, yeah, like
I mean, why else would Captain Boomerang come back slim, chiseled, and with his new what do you call it again?
Beanie?
His new beanie?
I don't think it's that. I think it's kind of like...
Yeah, I swear, by the time Brightest Day comes out, he will more likely not realize he had a son. Not know at all that he was with the golden glider, whatever her name was.
I think it's more the opposite of Underworld Unleashed, where everyone made a deal with the devil and they kind of became like their ultimate selves. But it's like that, but more with heaven than hell.
I feel like they do it every time somebody comes back, especially.
Because it's just weird. It's weird for Captain Boomerang to go the Flash after this entire thing.
I mean, it's the same reason Martian Manhunter suddenly has a new costume. I mean, did he just suddenly decide I'm going to retailor this while I
get back to life? Upon death, I decided to dress differently.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird for whoever, like for these characters in general. I mean, we don't know what's happening right now.
Well, Aquaman's like, you know what? I could really use a newer, sleeker belt buckle, and you know,
and maybe a new hand while I'm at it.
Yeah, a new hand.
And a fucking collar.
Yeah, the collar.
Didn't it seem like a fucking sweatshirt?
I kind of like the collar.
The collar's the only change in the costume. I mean, everything else is kind of just the way it was.
But I'm saying, bring back Aquaman. Why make that change? Just to make it different? Like,
with the collar,
there's nothing wrong with his costume.
Just real quick, I think that the that Booster Gold saying Maxwell Lord is sort of like a mother scolding her child, like they say her full name.
Yeah.
like Maxwell Oliver Lord. You go to your room this instant.
I just feel like, I mean, Hawkman's costume is relatively the same, except it's simplified, right?
Guy Gardner happened to say Maxwell Lord, just weird.
I don't know. I like I said, I have a big problem with Hawk coming back, and I mean, I feel like certain characters obviously just came back because if he brought back only the characters he wanted to bring back, then everybody'd be like, oh, obviously Geoff Johnson's doing what he wants, and now he's like, no, see, I didn't want to bring back Hawk or Maxwell Lord or Jade. I obviously didn't want to bring back Jade. Like, you know, so I feel like he's just trying to throw people off to get Firestorm, Aquaman, Martian Manhunter, Osiris, and to kill Kendra and stuff. I mean, and Zoom, obviously. So most of the characters he brought back, characters he wanted back, and I'm sure he'll write a storyline explaining. He's like, "Oh yeah, watch out! You'll see that these guys are all back for a specific reason." And some bullshit reason to connect them all through DC history and say something that they all have in common, or just make shit up because it doesn't really matter, you know? Like,
yeah, I like the tagline that keeps coming out. They're all back to life for a reason. Yeah, we all know the fucking reason.
Yeah,
fucking.
Jeff Young was a jerk off to some.
To return the Silver Age back to where it was. Yeah.
Yeah, the good old days. The good old days.
To undo Countdown to Infinite Crisis, like that's what this. I mean, a Countdown. I'm sorry. To undo Crisis to Infinite Earth. That's what Geoff Johns' whole motive has been in his entire history of writing for DC.
From Infinite Crisis till now, the entire all of
just
DC.
Trying to bring back Crisis and Infinite Earth. Fuck him. I mean, Marshman looks like he just walked out. I mean, he just looked like Marshmallow. Like he just walked out of the gym, like he's like some Guido putting like, you know, pants on and no shirts. Like, yeah, I'm just sweating it out. Like, fuck off. Like, you know,
some Guido.
Look at my suspenders.
I know, like, I mean, you're honestly, barely. You're now you're only not wearing a shirt. That's the only difference between your outfit. You look ridiculous now. Like, put a shirt on.
Come on. The underwear was kind of weird.
I liked his previous costume.
Yeah, his previous costume was the best one.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole suit.
Never good.
No, his previous costume is really cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Martian Manhunter, like, they can't really... Like, they have the design for him that's a little... That's too, I guess, iconic for Martian Manhunter himself. And then And so they can't change it too much. But then they're like, well, we can't really figure out what to do with this costume. They keep doing weird, different things with it. And some people don't like it, some people do, and then they change it again and whatever.
I feel like this is when Batman got pants. Does anybody remember after Night... Batman got pants for a while.
I wrote them a letter. I said, take those ridiculous fucking underwear off out of the outside. And they did, like, 2 months later.
Well, my whole problem with Batman is that I think it's stupid that he should wear underwear over his pants. Like, that's Batman would look awesome. Just take every picture you've ever seen of Batman, color his legs black, and his costume is, like, 35% better. Like, but, you know, that's never going to happen, and Martian Republic's back.
They keep adding blue to it, and it's equally ridiculous.
Yeah, blue is lame.
That tinge of blue.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, Marshmallow looks like a jerk off now. Is what my main point. And I think Aquaman's costume actually, if you're going to stick to the Aquaman design, I kind of like the design he had right before when he shaved. when he had that design, when I guess Pat Gleason was drawing him, when they restarted the series and everything, and he had the one aqua water hand, and I thought that was really cool. He had too, I think.
Oh, yeah, clean shaven, aqua hand, yeah.
I mean, the best Aquaman design, I think, is the long hair, no shirt, but, you know, I mean, we're not...
You didn't like the long hair with the weird mask and the camouflage blue costume?
Or the metal bands
the blue version
across...
of Tempest. Or the 90s Aquaman costume where he just looked weird.
Yeah, where he had magic powers and stuff, yeah.
The stories were the best at that time, though, I think. The costume, not so much.
The best Aquaman stories are definitely the Peter David run. I mean, no argument. But, I mean, like, I don't know. I wanted Tempest to say Aquaman from the very, when they mentioned in Our Worlds at War.
Yeah.
You know, good about Our Worlds at War is that they had an offhand mention where Tempest was going to become Aquaman. They should have kept to that because that wasn't really awesome.
I love that they killed Tempest in this event and didn't bring him back.
Nope.
Yeah. Specifically killed the Silver Age, like Andrew was saying, like the elimination of the Silver Age completely. I mean, sorry, elimination of the Modern Age, return of the Silver Age, like, you know. Aquaman
and it goes even.
Tempest.
Yeah, it goes even beyond that too, because it's like Tempest was around in the Silver Age, and yet they just want to get rid of all the second tier super. I don't know. What it is.
I'm now. It's making me more concerned about Dick Grayson over in Batman. You know, because
I think he might get killed. I think he might be in jeopardy.
I mean, you know, if anybody
can't kill Dick Grayson,
I think Bruce is going to come back, and he's going to kind of be like, "Well, you're not doing too bad, Dick," and then something terrible will happen. he'll kind of relax and kind of go on to.
We will see a splash page with Bruce holding Dick's dead body, going like, "No, now I must avenge him."
I think they're going to kill up Dick Grayson, and then everyone's going to be like, "What? Come on, what? No!" And they're going to be like, "Oh, we got to bring him back."
That'll
more likely come back younger.
That'll be the catalyst for Bruce becoming Batman again. Full time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's honestly
Batman again.
Grant Morrison's controlling it, so I think it's going to be a little bit not what we expect. I mean, not as direct as we expected, but I think it's 50-50 he can get killed because the overhanging subtext of the story is that he might be killed because back in Batman 666, they imply that Batman died and then Damian swore he would do that Batman thing forever. You could always interpret that as Bruce, but you could also interpret that as Dick's days are numbered. But you know, I don't want to think like that.
Are they gonna kill off Roy Harper with a drug overdose?
Well, now they're gonna turn into a half robot. He might end up being Green Arrow. You know, so I mean, who knows? So I think it'll probably end up not being him, but whatever.
I think they're just gonna be like, he's not a robot anymore, and he's back into heroin, so he's dead.
All right, so let's actually move away from all this stuff and get back to Blackest Night number 8.
We're
away from heroin.
Hey, we're on the 50th episode. We should be allowed to bullshit a little bit.
Yeah, but I haven't even given my review yet.
Oh, well, all right.
No. All right, fine. You guys want to keep talking?
Go ahead.
No, I'm just messing with you, Frankie. I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, beginning with the cover of this whole thing, it's pretty much a clear indication how cluttered this book is. Cluttered with so much things happening in this book. So many splash pages. And I'll say, that middle splash page with everybody in it. Every single hero in this book.
Can I say one thing about the splash pages?
What?
They didn't really bother me in this issue. I mean, it wasn't like shit. It wasn't like shit where it's like, Jeff, it's like, Ivan, just draw me a big picture of Hal flying, you know, just because he doesn't know what else to write and he's busy and shit.
Get me wrong. I will say this. The splash pages helped this book.
I kind of like think the splash pages... waste because there's that one splash page where it's a double splash of all the Corps fighting all the Black Lanterns. You barely see anybody on that. All it's like Hal and Kilowog and Guy and Black Hand and Aquaman, and that's it. Everyone else is tiny little figures, so it's kind of what's the point of having thousands and thousands of people?
Yeah, that same picture I was looking at, and you can clearly see if you pay attention, you'll find all the little nitpicks and all the little, like, you know, what's going to happen.
Still alive. I just realized that. Crib's still alive.
Yeah, she never died.
We talked about this like twice.
Yeah.
I assume she choked on her arm and wasn't around.
She's missing the correct arm. It's not like they forgot it. What they did forget was Arkilo's finger.
Yeah, Arkilo still has his fingers.
Although they did remember the tongue, so I don't know what the fuck.
Weird. The one thing I agree with Kuan is in his whole thing about how most of these people, the dialogue in this book is. I really don't understand. And most every single thing that's being written here is in whatever way, shape, or form is making me dislike everything that happened before it.
Well, like on that page where Hal just like dramatically says, "The more, the merrier."
What? No, what I hate is also the fact that everything's so, like, you know, this book has to cram everything to, like, you know, to its finishing point. Even though it doesn't end it, it just pretty much, you know, like, continues on for it to go to Brightest Night. But the fact is that when Gansett has to explain to Hal Jordan what is going on with Sinestro losing his ability to hold on to the White Entity, I was like, how the fuck do you know so much about the White Entity? I don't understand this, Gansett. How do you know the fact that he will not be able to stand, like, continue to hold on to this power? And yet he goes like, maybe I can. No, no, no. You can't hold on to this power more for a second, Hal. Don't even try it. I was like, I don't understand what's going on. Why do I need a lecture right now?
Cause
what's going
Guardians,
on?
Because he's a Guardian, and Guardians know everything, but they're a-holes, and they don't tell anybody anything.
Well, Guardians, yeah, I think the implication we're supposed to get is the Guardians knew all about the White Entity to a certain extent and didn't tell anybody, even though Gansett, of course, has rebelled against the Guardians a million times and is completely throws up in the face of Green Lantern history, but I guess that's no big deal.
Whatever. This whole, if anyone's White Lantern Corps...
Gansett decided that for once he could be a dick.
I get it. I understand. This book is ridiculous. I got you. freaking anti-monitor. The anti-monitor having to have given back life only to say, I'm your prisoner and power source. No more, Necron. Then, you know what? Easy fix. I will say away with you. Back to your own dimension. Like, that's
it. We can start the crisis of the Crisis of Infinite Earths again, you know.
Right
back to the end where he started.
You know, all these characters being brought back to life. Only a certain set of characters being brought back to life, and again, it's true, he wanted to only bring back the characters he wanted, and just to make everybody believe he's doing it, he's being like, you know, oh man, I'm writing a good story, I'm gonna bring back characters that you didn't expect or see coming. But, you know, we already
coming, they've been dead for like 3 years, and like...
Professor Zoom coming back.
Came back as Monarch, and then...
Hawk coming back,
and then Extant.
What's funny is that...
Yeah, Extant.
All these characters have a special lettering, but the Anti-Monitor, literally the biggest villain the DC Universe has ever had, has, like, regular lettering. He's like, hi, everybody. Whereas Necron's like, blah, 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 hold on, like...
Black hands.
No. Does Anti-Monitor say anything? Oh, I didn't notice Anti-Monitor says something in this issue.
Yeah, he says, I'm your prisoner and power source no longer, Necron. He doesn't say it in any sort of nice, cool bubbling.
Yeah, he's like, what up? I'm your prisoner and power source no longer, yo. I'm your prisoner in palace.
Oh, you also forgot the fact that he attacked.
I didn't hear that part. What?
Wind tunnel.
Yeah, you wind tunneled there, Colton.
West tunneled.
I'm like dying. But anyways, what I was saying was, you forgot the part where he basically tanked the Anti-Monitor's attack like it was nothing and casually sent him away.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was the fact is, he was released. Give him back life, and then he goes, you know what? Now, easy fix, away with you, so we don't have to deal with you any longer. Just so he can show up later on, more than likely in Brightest Day, as another bad guy. Or he's going to team up with the other bad guy, because Necron will more than likely come back or not.
Oh, and, yeah, I like how Necron's getting, like, blasted, and yet he expends the energy. Well, they're getting these ultimate weapons to kill him. He's standing around like a jerk, and he has enough energy to send the Anti-Monitor back to the fucking Anti-Monitor universe, but he can't turn around and blast Hal Jordan.
What I don't get is, we see the Anti-Monitor, you know, erupt out of the central power battery, and yet wouldn't, like, all the Black Lanterns just fall over and disintegrate or whatever?
They should have keeled over. Yes, they should have. But the same thing applies to the Star Sapphires. Their power was blown up when the Hawks came back to life,
yeah,
or
right.
back to the dead, or whatever.
Otherwise, what's the point of it?
Yeah, I'm not understanding also now that their power source is also destroyed. Why are there still Starfires in the next crossover that's coming up?
You know, what we haven't talked about is the two tiny little panels that Geoff Johns seemed to have forgotten to throw in something really schmaltzy about Hal's family. So he threw in those two little panels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hal's family saying,
what
corny
does Hal
kid?
Say?
Corny, corny dad, cliche. And then they turn the
corny, corny dad, cliche.
Really,
and they have alien eyeballs. What's this, like, they all have, like, demon eyeballs? Am I looking at this? Am I going blind, or do they have, you know, crazy eyeballs? But, yeah.
I think y'all overreacting on this dialogue thing.
No, I'm not overreacting on this dialogue. I'm sorry. No, Superman coming after Hal Jordan, not after I'm through with you, Hal. You too, Superman. Doomsday put you down, but you got back up.
Come on, this is Superman. He wouldn't even have time to get out like half that sentence before he, like, superplexes.
Yeah, I don't understand what Superman's taking this sweet time after everything just goes down in Blackest Night. Superman finally does something, and all he does is, I'm going to fly really slowly at you, Hal Jordan, and say my line. It's like, cue. Oh, now it's my turn? All right, I'm gonna defeat the bad guy. Thanks a lot, Superman.
I mean, how badass would it have been to see Superman slugging it out with Necron, like, going in? Oh, that would have been awesome. No, but no, we didn't get to.
I love that after.
Yeah, there was like not even, there was not a single Superman moment in this whole thing, though.
There was
like,
not.
No, there was. There was where Superman goes, "John, you're alive," and then he goes,
"I guess I am."
He's like, "Shut up, Superman. We're doing something else right now." Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. It's the funny thing is also this book itself, in many ways, is a combination of everything that Jeff Johns said he was going to do: White Light, White Lantern, and then Hal Jordan not being the actual savior of the book. And yet, every single thing that turns out to be actually happening in this issue.
Yeah.
White Light, White Lantern Corps, Hal Jordan saves the day.
Yeah, that was condescending. You know what else, too, when Jay comes back, first off, Jay wasn't really in love with Kyle anymore.
No, not at all.
Please pay attention. She was like, he was really grimy to her, so she went out with somebody else, and then she died, and they kind of reconciled their friendship before she died, but that was really it. And for her to be like, Kyle, oh my God, Kyle, it's like, he didn't die. Why did you think he died? Like, why are you so excited? Yeah. And then to kiss him, that's completely inappropriate.
Well, she died.
Again, I'm under the impression, again, that all these characters came back at a point in times when they were at their highs. So at best, Jade came back when she was still dating Kyle.
She was banging Kyle.
Yeah. Hawk came back when he was still Hawk instead of X-Men.
Hawk Girl came back when she was...
It was Sierra Hawk, destroying Kendra from existence.
But she said she remembered Kendra's memories.
She remembered being Kendra, so...
Yeah, but it's the same thing as Doctor Who.
So it can't be that.
Yeah, I guess... Yeah.
Damn it.
More improper emphasis. Hal, what's going on? What's happening to Mara?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to say that same page. Hal says, she's going into cardiac arrest. First off, that's an awkward way to say she's having a heart attack. I guess didn't want to say heart attack because the next three lines of dialogue we're all going to say heart like 70 times. So he was like, I don't want to say heart as much as
no,
I'm going
no,
to. He could have went like, yo, dude, she's missing her heart.
But how does he know she's having a cardiac arrest? She's not going to cardiac arrest. She has no heart.
Yeah.
And
well,
not only that, but it's...
Well, yeah, she does. I mean, like Atrocitus, we saw him get his heart
yanked out. Their hearts stop beating. They expulsed their blood or whatever, so she has no blood.
Maybe it's Ray Palmer talking because he is on Hal's shoulder, and he's a scientist, so...
He's like, tell him it's cardiac arrest. He's like, it's cardiac arrest. Are you a medical doctor? No, I'm not.
I like how everybody's suit apparently gets like new and shiny and clean again. Adam's suit is still fucked up.
Hal got a 3D symbol at some point during this crossover, and it didn't always hang out, but it's safe for a few of these larger.
Hold on, wait, no. After everybody stops being whatever they are, the Adam is still Indigo for like three panels. Why is that? And then he stops being Indigo again.
I don't know.
What the heck happened here?
Evan Reese.
Another
thing I wanted to say, you know, for this book, why didn't Hal Jordan punch the shit out of Sinestro after everything was said and done?
Where is Sinestro? I mean, maybe you couldn't find him like
we can. He's like right. He's standing
right
next to him.
Yeah.
He's standing right next to him. I don't understand how could it just go like, hey, Sinestro, bam, you're still under arrest.
You're still under arrest.
Yeah, wait a minute, you're still on trial on what's.
Yeah, you're supposed to be freaking murdered. You're supposed to be. What the fuck is going on? Everybody like happy ending. You redeemed yourself, Sinestro. After everything was said and done, you redeemed yourself.
Then yeah, well what? And then,
Atrocitus, you murder people. You're cool too, man. It's fine.
I mean, do we forget? And at some point during this crossover too, Jeff Johns forgot that Larfleas was someone who was so insanely badass he could hold off all the Guardians at once, and no one went near him for thousands and millions of years because he was so hardcore. And yet, you know, everybody kind of just insults him, and he feels so bad he like leaves. It's like, fuck off! Why does he try to conquer the Earth right here? You know, I mean, where's the guy from Agent Orange? Why did he become literally like a Muppet? Like, you know,
why does everything have to happen during Blackest Night? Why can't that happen in the next GL? Issue.
The character's reaction to this, because I'm saying the character's he transformed into like a sidekick or a joke character, and he was a freaking genocidal beast. Like he was as strong as like the Anti-Monitor. And
but that's not present in this issue.
It's prevalent for the character itself. As far as Jeff Johns continues saying that this story was character driven, it wasn't.
I understand why he wants to get his archetypes and his cliches on as solidly as he can, because he can't write characters and stuff. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want the cliche of what Larfleas... I don't want Gollum. Why the fuck am I looking at Gollum when he wasn't, he was fucking Sauron. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a fucking, he's not a sidekick. He's a horrible, horrible threat. He's strong as all the Guardians put together. You shouldn't be able to talk him down, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Marmaduke. Yeah, oh yeah, another thing I would say, that part where, Jordan goes into the, you know, into the white entity, ramming head on into it, and all those rings were exploding around him. I so badly wanted every single ring to explode. Wait, every one of them.
Here's my question. Why is the ring saying, "Let there be light"?
I don't know. I understand the computer mainframe that it's connected to.
We didn't talk about the
white rings are based on Owen technology.
when were they made?
Yeah.
Who sat around tinkering with their Owen technology and making white rings at this point in time?
Shut up, it's magic.
I'm sure we'll eventually get some explanation that doesn't take into account.
I think Spider-Man had to make a deal with Mephisto. And that's what that makes better sense with the rest.
Owen technology apparently is magical reference, even though when I still remember Green Lantern Corps, they go like, it costs a lot of money to make these things.
Pretty much.
Who sat around making that white battery at the end?
I guess it costs a lot of money to pay the wizard to make the rings. I guess the ring making wizard's on the payroll, so.
Like Inuyasha and his sword. He gotta get
an upgrade. We didn't really talk about it at all with the Green Lantern 52 because of what happened last week, but we do have to make a point to say that the Bible is now canon in the DC universe, but only a simplified understanding of the Bible. I mean, Geoff Johns clearly didn't actually read the stories that everybody based it on. And, I mean, honestly, there's nothing interesting or new about where these entities are coming from either. I mean, every character, every entity that was introduced is based on a really well-known, overly well-known, and every other piece of fiction ever, every mysterious fantasy fiction you can find ever, has some basis in these stories, so Geoff Johns is clearly not reaching very far to kind of come up with any kind of imaginative explanation as to where all these entities come from. And plus, I think Colton said this at one point, that to say that the civilization and life and intelligent life in the universe is only thousands of years old as opposed to the millions and billions of years old that we know it is, does seem really stupid, reductive, and kind of like him. He's trying to imply, what's it called? What is that anti-evolution idea? Intelligent design. So, yeah.
You know what pisses me off? That they killed off like my favorite character and didn't bring him back. They killed Firestorm's girlfriend. Come on.
Well, I have a problem with that. I think this event went right back to the early night. I mean, if anything, the only thing from the 90s this event takes is and the 80s is the brutal murdering of every woman in sight for no other reason than to make the heroes kind of feel bad about their girlfriends dying and stuff.
That's not true. That's not true. They brought back two girls in this issue, so what now?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
For all the ones that were murdered during the storyline, the two that come back are no consolation.
Well, they brought up, it's funny because, and there's also the sense that every character that's a female superhero or female character in mainstream comics is either murdered or it's just some way is motivated only by their definition of being with a man, which, of course, Hawkwoman does, and not only was her original personality, Kendra, who was resistant to the whole idea of predestined love, eliminated from continuity because it was too confusing for her boyfriend, I guess. And then Jade, as soon as she comes back, she forgets about all her character growth and is like, oh, Kyle, I'm all, you know, into you again, even though that's not who my character is, because that's the easiest way to understand women if we're male writers.
Or you're looking at somebody who's relatively human and they just return back to life and they see somebody they once cared about.
A familiar face. I'm not
Well, I would understand that if not for the context of everything else in the event. I mean, no character in the event had an easy time of it with being a woman. I mean, from Jason's murdered girlfriend over to Mara, whose entire character was transformed into like some hateful harpy, you know, and then was only cured because of her love for a man. And then Jade again,
who never wanted Aqua Baby, you know,
who never wanted the Aqua Kid that she, the only reason she went crazy in the comics at all is because she lost her kid. But you know, of course, she wanted that.
I'm reading right now the Aquaman number 60 from like the 70s, I guess. Yeah, I mean, she cracks in this over that.
That's why she. That's why her character is known as this angry character, she lost her kid.
The other ridiculous thing is that Dove's sister, the other Hawk, died in this event, and Hank Hall comes back, and she's like, Hank, stop, calm down, they want to help, and she's not, nothing about how, like, wait, Why did you come back and my sister didn't?
Yeah, why
back?
Is it fair that my fucking sister? Yeah, yeah.
Or why did you?
She,
why
she,
did,
she would
why
be
did you,
angry about it because she's.
Or even
she's
like, why did dumb, why but. Did you kill me? Hank? Why did you kill me, Hank? Because he did. He fucking killed like in the Armageddon 2001.
Yeah, like yeah, you killed me.
Why did he you comes kill? Back.
Well, that's what, so
we've
that's,
all come
again,
back.
And again, it seems kind of like. It's like, oh, well, if you look at one or two isolated examples like Jade or maybe like that Donna Troy's whole story was that she was upset about her baby, you know. But then if you look at the fact that even Wonder Woman where, I mean, we had a big discussion about whether or not the two issues focusing on her, the love of her life being Batman diminished her character or not. But I think in context of everything else, it does. Because the one thing about, I mean, Carol Ferris, for years and years and years, even the Green Lantern title had been established as an independent woman who doesn't really care about
yeah,
Hal Jordan.
And now it's like she's pining over him out of nowhere.
Now she's, yeah, the reason she has power at all is divorces her
husband just to not go out with him, kind of pine over him.
So, I mean, this event was, you know, insulting to women, to say the least, you know.
Demeaning. Extremely. I feel like they're gonna get, like, the women's rights organizations pulled out on them, like Gail Simone's gonna show up at Jeff John's house and, like, punch him in the face.
I bet you if she wasn't intrinsically, if she didn't get Birds of Prey and stuff, she'd probably have gone the same way as Greg Rucka, you know, realizing the pull of the company and saying, fuck this, I'm not going over here, you know.
I think Jeff Johns is going to write into one of his comics that the only thing that motivates Gail Simone is her love for Jeff Johns.
I mean, think about it, though. I mean, honestly, even just going on a rant about Greg Rucka for a second, the guy leaves the company writing the you know, one of the most successful high-profile female lead comics, you know, in recent memory at all, you know, and you know, DC should have been begging him to stay, and, you know, they let him go. And why did they let him go? Because he's not down with the mission statement, guaranteed, you know. Not to say that the mission statement is misogyny, I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying there's probably a certain element of that, but that's probably not why these guys left. They probably left for Kim, because as you can read from Black, my most disappointing thing in Blackest Night Number 8 for me is because this is where the company's going to be doing for the next 5 years, like, no conclusions, no story, no plot, shit happening.
A lot of stuff happening. Everything that comes before the final issue is pretty much set as moot, because it all would have been wrapped up in the final issue anyway.
I'm not saying they're misogynists, but yeah, they're misogynists.
And everything's misogynist.
Well, think about it. I mean, honestly, do I have any problem with the multicolored core? No, I don't. It's a cool idea. If it was utilized properly, it wasn't. Do I have any problem with the Black Lanterns and everybody coming back as zombies? No, it's a cool idea if it was utilized properly and it wasn't. Do I have any problem with the White Lanterns? Again, no, it's a cool idea if it was utilized properly. And do I have any problem at all, especially with, I think, the biggest problem people have with this series so far, that a bunch of other superheroes got rings? No, that's a cool idea. It makes perfect sense and it should work out like that. Just, it wasn't utilized properly. It was used to just keep the event going another issue. I mean, you could have done a whole storyline on it and you still could, but the fact of the matter is it should have been introduced with a bit more, I mean, you know, me was complaining about the decompression, but decompression. We had 4 years leading up to this event, or however hell long it's been since the Sinestro Corps War, 2 years leading up to the event. And I can't think of a single story. I mean, there was two or three, one storyline sort of focused on the Blues, and then one storyline sort of focused on the Reds, but that was really it. And I mean, you could have done a lot more, you know.
The Blues and the Reds shared the story, actually.
Huh?
The Blues and the Reds just shared, yeah, they shared the story.
Well, there you go. And I mean, you could always say, like, all right, the War of Light is going to continue after this, and that's, I guess, fine, but I mean, what was the prophecy about in the first place, you know? And
right.
I mean, the blackest night is going to have even blacker night, you know? I mean,
even
really.
Blacker night.
The blacky black.
Yeah.
It's now everybody's depressed.
Yeah, I was confused there, because the last thing.
Titles that are not Jeff Johns written, they are Jeff Johns creatively controlled, but not Jeff Johns written coming out that are Green Lantern titles, so.
Hold up a second. Who's typing really loudly? Well, you can't admit who it is.
I was.
Okay, Eric.
I wasn't.
You said I wasn't, not I was.
Alright, because someone was typing really loudly and you could hear it over your talk.
I've been talking the last 20 minutes. So
I know you were.
I couldn't have been typing at the same time.
Okay, so wrap it up, Eric. What were you saying?
I'm done. I'm disappointed, upset, hurt. All the negative adjectives you can think. Adjectives? All the negative verbs you can think of. I'm destroyed.
No, they would be adjectives.
Destroyed, though?
No, you. If you are, I am. Am, it would be the verb. And
well, whatever. I feel like I'm so adjectived that I've become
I'm okay. So adjectived.
Okay. Yeah, so pretty much as a point, we weren't all that keen as to this last issue.
I was.
Brandon was.
You were?
You said your second go around, you actually enjoyed it a lot better.
How is that even possible? You don't like things.
Wait.
This issue was not that bad.
Yeah. Right. I would say it's a decent conclusion to a pretty shitty story. I mean, it's like
that's what I said.
It's like
I would say right now. I would say right now as a story by itself, for itself without having to actually rely on anything else except for what Geoff Johns has been handing to me, I would say this book was actually a good ending for the story itself. But yeah. Everything else about it just angers me. In a way that I can see where it's going to be going down the line from here on out. Everything that seems to be like, you know, what's going to be motivating these characters. This entire book has not resolved anything, but just given them more to, like, you know, contemplate for the next 4 years. That's the one thing that's bothering me about this issue. It has no ending. There is no ending in the story.
For a DC event, this is a really poor ending, I think. If this is a Green Lantern storyline ending, and they're like, oh, this big storyline just ended, you know it's leading into the next one because it's an ongoing. But as a DC standalone event, this is, I mean, it's insulting how commercial this is. This is really just an issue of previews or a Wikipedia entry about the DC universe. It's not a story at all, I think.
You know, the entire thing, like, again, befell on the shoulders of Captain Hal Ball Jordan. You know, it was just, you know, this entire thing, you know, was saying, like, you know what, we're going to, you know, write a story about how great these other characters that we've all introduced in this story are going to be. And yet I will literally say, none of these characters had any bearing on the story. Not one of them. Every single character that was shown in this story, you could have done without the Star Sapphires, you could have done without the Blue Lanterns, you could have done without the Orange Lantern in all its entirety. The only characters you actually needed here was Sinestro and Hal Jordan. Just to get from point A to point B. That's it. And that's the one thing about this issue that's, again, just angers me. You have, it's pretty to look at. There's a bunch of things that you can take into the next phase of the plotting of the stories of, you know, the Brightest Day and whatever. But honestly, there was all a bunch of pretty fillers, a bunch of pretty colors distracting you of what was actually going on in the story. Absolutely jack. And then everything being resolved by, again, to, you know, quote Kuhan, freaking a deus ex machina, or however he says it.
Deus
ex machina. I like saying deuce. But deus ex machina.
Deus ex machina, to quote
Geoff Johns here, or to reference Geoff Johns here. You know, it was just, that was it. There was nothing, again, everything was resolved by Necron. Necron himself laid out every single thing to defeat himself in the story. He literally, if he didn't start point A, he would not have gone, oh man, I'm defeated. It's, again, it was just poor plotting. Or lack thereof. So, I can't recommend it to actual, like, hardcore veterans of Green Lantern story. But for newcomers into the Green Lantern story, I can highly recommend this because this is what they're going to be looking at for the next 5 years.
Well, in general, as a DC story, it's perfect for new readers and
really?
And not necessarily to jump them into the
I think it would scare away
past or anything. I think it's just accessible on the easiest level ever. It's like anybody can pick this up and say, okay, this is what this character does, this is what this character does. He's fast.
Because
he's
this is Green Lantern. The new status quo for Green Lantern.
This was designed specifically to get people to read it and not know, like, it was promoted so people would pick it up and it's like, oh, you're going to be able to read it and get the story. And it's not true. Every Geoff Johns event has been like this. You read it and they'll just mention offhand the Shark or Hector Hammond or Maxwell Lord and you'll be like, who the fuck is that? They won't give you any clues so that you'll go out and buy trades. This is all designed to get people to buy millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of back issues.
Yes.
It's not accessible at all. I mean, you don't even know who the fuck Maxwell Lord is when he shows up in the splash page, and then even when Guy grabs him, if you don't know who Maxwell Lord is, I mean, you get people who are reading this.
Yeah,
that
like,
don't
like he's like, ew, this guy's nose bleeding, and now he's not fighting him. What the hell?
Yeah, people are like, what the fuck is going on? Nobody knows who Hawk is. I mean, nobody knows who the fuck Ronnie Raymond is. You know, I mean, this is not.
But for new readers, this will make them go, hey, I have no idea who these characters are. I'm gonna go try to look them up and read them. This is, again, this entire thing, as you said before, Eric, is a giant commercial. The giant preview pages of everything that's gonna come to pass now. So they want more money. This entire thing was a cash cow for them. Yep. But as veteran readers,
And Jade, I mean, who even knows? Especially, it'd probably be confusing for people reading Green Lantern because Jade hasn't been mentioned since Infinite Crisis and wasn't mentioned in the Geoff Johns runs and stuff like that. And why is Zoom running around so much in the background at splash page?
Because apparently all Flashes now just can't stop moving. Didn't you notice the last page with Barry Allen? It looked like he wasn't standing still.
He's standing at the grave and he can't stand still?
Oh yeah, Nicole also. The fact is,
I'm late for a very important date.
Terrible. Is again, this is that ending was again supposed to be like, you know, referencing, you know, or like, you know, mirroring the how this entire thing started. You know, them being at a cemetery at night, now being at a cemetery at broad daylight because now they're scared of the night.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. And how the last line of dialogue where he feels the light out there urging them away, break away from the past, I think is pretty ironic considering that the entire issue was about the return of all these characters that had died, and especially a completely different age of comic books. But yeah.
It's weird. It's to hear these lines come how Jordan. It's like, man, you didn't even go to high school, man. I don't understand how you're able to, you know, string together those sentences, and especially in mid fight.
I mean, that the lantern making a pretty big crater in the ground. Everybody looking at it probably going to make the news, which means that Superman could probably just go and grab that, or the Flash could probably just go and grab that, or anybody who can get over it.
But of course, no one's going to know anything about this for the next next year.
Yeah, and of course it landed in America, obviously, too. So, yeah.
Yes, and it landed. It looked like it landed in Maine. It looked like it landed in Maine somewhere.
And I like how he's like, I don't know why the Earth or the sky or people exist. I guess he's trying to say why, like, what are the reasons behind them and stuff. But I mean, I know why the Earth exists. I like, you know, like, you just look it up on Wikipedia why you want to figure out why the Earth, why people exist. I mean, you don't need to like.
Yeah, it's like
know. I don't want to look it up.
Well, you see, there's some carbon atoms that.
It's kind of like the religious girl that's like, you know, well, why does the wind blow? And, well, we can quantify the reason.
It's because God breathes.
Why does the thunder isn't
God breathe?
Not clouds breathing together or God's bowling. Like, it's not like, you know.
Why does the wind blow? I don't know. Why don't you shave your legs?
It's a sad day for me right now. I'm sorry.
I think you guys are like really bringing me down here.
I'm sorry, Brandon. But again,
this is coming from the guy who always hates everything, and yet he didn't hate this one. What the hell?
This issue is not bad.
Coming.
It's because your expectations got so low.
I think Eric really hit it on the head there when he said like this pretty much marks the end of like any kind of forward gears in DC though, and I think that does make me very sad actually.
I mean, there's a very time?
I mean, I can't front. Okay, he did create new characters. Atrocitus is a new character, even though he's based on millions of other Marvel characters, and Walker is a new character, even though he's really similar to Silver Surfer and a thousand other characters just like him and stuff. And so he's creating new characters, even though they're just like other characters. So to say that there won't be any new characters, that's not necessarily true. There certainly won't be any new characters. The problem is not that he's not creating, it's that he's replacing legacy characters with original characters. I mean, you know, Wally, Roy, I mean, really, just...
Nothing is really moving forward.
Maybe we should just change this podcast into not a Green Lantern podcast anymore. Does that make you feel better, West? We can't cover the Flash either, though, because it's probably second worst offender.
Yeah.
If you do JSA, Alan Scott's in that.
Barely.
Yeah, he's barely in that one anymore. Yeah.
We do JLA, Jade's going to be in that.
But then we have to cover Justice.
Is that official that she'll be a member of the JLA now?
I believe James Robinson said at WonderCon that she was going to be the Green Lantern presence in the league, and he's going to try to keep her on the team. And we're a loser.
Yeah, sure. Who else is going to use her now?
I mean, I guess
I thought they'd throw her on the JSA with Alan or something.
I mean, well, I mean, I guess he said there's going to be supposed to be a big JLA JSA crossover coming.
It wouldn't really work well for a JSA because again, the JSA book itself is supposed to be teaching the newer generation of heroes.
Well, the
elders, and Jade has been around for a long time now. So,
and to tease a little bit, he said something along the lines of like. He's gonna firmly establish why the Starheart is different than the Green Lantern Corps battery and so forth. Good. So He said and that's what's going to happen to the JSA JLA. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, you can just throw it right in there now because of how gobbledygook and messed up and how un-Green Lantern the last couple of Green Lantern years have been with what the battery is and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I guess I appreciate him trying to make something separate out of it. James Robbins is the guy who's a good idea man and a good plot man. Just can't write comics anymore.
Not well.
Yeah.
It took me a while to read Adventure Comics number 9. Just to completely understand that issue.
Okay.
Broke it up with 3 different stories. Anyway, whatever. So to wrap it up, basically, we all gave our thoughts. We all pretty much, most of us enjoyed it. Most of us did not enjoy it. I will honestly say that, you know, as Green Lantern fans, we are now in the new age, or a similar age that came before it. of stories that came before it. And if that's your thing, you know, more power to you. If not, try to stomach it as much as you can, or make up your own stuff.
It's the silver-plated modern age. That's what it is.
Like literally make up your own stuff, because that's mostly what people are going on into giant fan fictions now these days. But
maybe if you make up some good stuff, you'll get hired by DC.
Possibly not. Who knows? But that is the end of Blackest Night number 8. And I don't know what to say. Eric, you were trying to say something before.
Maybe we should do that as a podcast instead. Just every week come up with better Green Lantern stories.
Oh my god, that'd be great. We could do that together.
It could be a group effort. Yes.
I mean, and like, does anybody else feel like that they're the, what is it, $3.99? I don't have the issue in front of me. However,
it's $3.99. Yeah.
No, Green Lantern number 52 costs.
Have that in front of me.
However much that cost, does anybody feel like that money got thrown in the garbage because of how useless the issue? I mean, the slight clues that gave you about the entities and stuff, but ended up being kind of just what you really expect them to be in terms of Judeo-Christian mythology, and mostly the issue being about Sinestro being the White Lantern, but then it being just taken out of him and stuff. And why did Necron bother to try to kill Sinestro if he could just pull the Trespasser out anyway? Or Yahweh, as we will refer to him as the entity. Yeah.
Again, we don't understand half of the motivation as to why Necron's doing what he's doing. I mean, he literally stands around doing nothing for most of the issues. I still don't understand why he needs 100% emotion and to, you know, resurrect himself or establish himself into actual reality. It doesn't make any sense why he needed it. I mean, especially when he starts going like, I am not a physical being as sorts. He's like, well, I don't understand.
I am not alive. That confused me, because I thought that was the whole purpose to him getting the hearts, was to, when it hits 100%, he gets a beating heart, and then he's kind of alive enough to come to our world. I mean, wasn't that the whole point?
It makes no sense. If he just needed Black Hand, and that's it, why the entire shirt? Why this entire thing? I don't get it.
What is life, you know?
It is like, yeah, this is like Infinite Crisis, where there was 1,000 naysayers leading up that had nothing to do with each other, and everybody's like, well, how could they possibly tie into each other? And then the explanations were tenuous at best. I mean, really, you know, I mean, and this is just like that. Like, there were 60,000 things going on, and there's really no justification for bringing back all those dead people and so on and so forth. I mean, what do they really do anyway? They kill Damage and Tempest? I mean...
They killed Damage, they killed Tempest, they killed the Hawks, you know, like...
No, I mean, but, like, some...
Lady Hawk. I mean, again, no, they were only there to, like, wipe clean the slate of characters that Geoff Johns didn't want around, just
that
like...
That he hasn't gotten around to killing yet, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's... I don't know, it's... Just the way that this entire thing has been... entirely been plot, it's just, again, making me more angry as it is. I'm sorry. So pretty much we'll just end it here. All right. So basically, thank you everyone for listening to our Green Lantern Spotlight podcast. And to win for us, we're going to be actually having a new, set time, set days.
Let's surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker!
All right, then pretty much stay tuned for new surprises, new hijinks, new possibly new cast members. Who knows?
And good night, everybody.
Did you guys forget about old evil Alan Moore? You guys had yourself a little brownest night roast and forgot about me? Fucking amateurs. I bet you can't wait to start sucking on old Jeff John's teat with the Blight of Day or whatever the fuck the latest travesty's called. Oh well, why am I so fucking mad all the time? I need to find a new hobby.
Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps are properties of DC Comics and do not reflect the authenticity of this podcast.
Tell a thousand years ago, green fire, so hot. A carving and a man and a superman, and his name was Alan Scott. A man without fear, and that's for sure.
Frankie looks like a black dude. Look at this picture, guys. He's a fucking black dude. Look at this.
Yeah, I met Frankie. Frankie is a
I don't have a Facebook, so...
He looks like a brother.
It might actually still pull it up for you anyway.
It didn't.
Fair enough.
Oh, I'm not Frankie's friend, so I'm going to make sure I'm part of it. There it is.
I was just talking about that tonight with my mother. My mother was talking about Barack Obama, and she was like, I was like, oh, yeah. She was like, are you going to celebrate Easter? I was like, no, I'm not religious, so I'll celebrate cool things like the day we elected the first
You're sacrilegious.
Man. Well, yeah, I am sacrilegious, so I should just carry sacks around on, like, religious holidays. But, like, I was saying, like, oh, I'm going to celebrate things like Earth Day or, like, the day that the Hydra Collider, like, you know, broke the record and the day we elected a first black president. She's like, he's not black. I'm like, what do you mean, Mom? He's like, he's not black. His mom's white. I'm like, okay. He's pretty black, though, Mom. It's like he put African-American consensus for him. And we had a big conversation about who looks black. And, like, Uhura from the new Star Trek, I did not know she was not black. She's a Dominican-Puerto Rican. Did not know she wasn't black. And Frankie's got one of those faces. Looks kind of black, but you can – it's like you're not quite black enough.
Nah, you go back in his lineage. There's a brother standing there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. No, he's Dominican. So it's like that's the whole thing with Dominicans. You get confused.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't. I mean, that is.
Yeah. But you, yeah, I was just talking about – yeah. Yeah, and people that are like – Filipino, sometimes you can't tell. Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, technically speaking, that's genetically. Hopefully we'll all be someday. Just one big gray mob of people.
I always wanted to be gray. I'm too pale, personally. I need a little bit more dark meat in me.
No problem. Just stand out in our sun out here.
That could be taken completely out of context.
you never think about what you say to these people, and you're like, oh, fuck.
It's like gray matter.
Open mouth, insert foot.
It was excellent. Much excellent.
And everything recorded. Ha ha ha.
Batman voice and all.
What? Much excellent.
I can never miss the Batman voice.
Remember Neil Patrick Harrison as the Riddler.
I think Kevin Conroy could take him.
I think he could too. I've actually met Kevin Conroy. He could take me. Nice guy.
All sick.
Well played, sir.
Somewhere Kevin Conroy is going to be like, yeah, see if I ever let you on my Ben 10 pod.
Better not walk down the wrong dog alley.
You might get raped by a dog.
I get raped by a dog.
Mark Bagley is fucking fantastic.